Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. We are going to be praying. We are going to be praying for ourselves. I'll pray for myself. You pray for yourself. We are going to be praying for the environment. We are going to be praying concerning the neighborhood. We are going to be praying concerning the whole earth. The Bible says the Lord is in His holy temple. Let the earth keep silent before Him. You're going to be telling your spirit, soul, and body to be quiet so that they can hear the voice of the Lord. You're going to be telling distractions in the environment to be quiet so that we can hear the voice of the Lord. You're going to be telling all things to with Him. It is not silent within us. Father, the Bible says the Lord is in His temple. The Lord is in His temple. We declare this morning that the Lord is in His temple. Let the end for Him.
Let all things be silent in the name of Jesus. My spirit, my soul, my body be silent in the name of Jesus. Let all distractions that might want to hinder us be silent in the name of Jesus. Let all opposing forces that are contrary to that which the Lord has established today be silent in the name of Jesus. The Lord God of hosts is in His temple. We declare silence. Silence that all men may approach. Silence so that we can receive that which He has prepared for us this day. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is in His temple. The Lord is in His temple. We declare silence. Let the earth keep silent. Let the earth keep silent. All distractions cease. Every buying and selling cease. Every opposition cease. Everything that is contrary to the purpose of God this morning cease. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray quietness. Quietness into our spirit. In the name of Jesus. Let the earth be silent. Let the earth be silent. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We'll also be praying with this hymn song that says, I'm awake my soul and with the sun. We'll take the first line and we'll pray with the first line. I want us to listen. The songwriter says, awake my soul and with the sun, thy daily stage of duty run. Shake off dull sloth and joyful rise to pay thy morning sacrifice. We are going to be telling ourselves that we will awake this morning. We are going to be telling ourselves that the word of God will cause us to awake. The word of God will cause our soul to arise. It will cause us to take up our duty. It will cause us to shake off every dull sloth, every laziness. Everything that hinders us, that makes us comfortable with everything that is contrary to the will of God. In the name of Jesus. Awake my soul. Awake my soul. The sun is up. I declare that you arise. I must walk the walks of Him that sent me while it's day. For the night comes when no man will walk again. Awake my soul. Shake off every hindrance. Shake off every shackle. Shake off everything that might want to hinder you from hearing the voice of the Lord. That might want to hinder me from arising to answer the call of God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for each and every soul that will awake. Awake in their spirit. Awake in the soul. And awake in the body. In the name of Jesus. Shake off every sloth. Shake off every shackle. Shake off every laziness. And help us to pay our morning sacrifice. Help us to do our morning duty. Help us to do our morning responsibilities in the name of Jesus. Help us to walk the walks of Him that calls us while it is day. In the name of Jesus. Help us to redeem our misspent time. Thank you because you are faithful. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please let's have our seat. Holy Spirit, we surrender ourselves into your care. We ask that you will have your way, even in each and every soul, in the name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 from verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James before I read another translation. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1, it says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plants. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help." Amen. Please, can somebody read from NLT or Living Bible? NLT or Living Bible. The Bible says, "You men of Judah, you are the vineyard I'm talking about." Let's go back to verse 1. It says, "My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful tree." Quickly, John 15 verse 1. Bible says, John chapter 15 verse 1. If you're there, please quickly read for me, please. John chapter 15 verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Now, he is the true vine. God is the true vine. Bible says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman." Jesus is the vine. Are we together? His Father is the husbandman. He's the one that dresses the vine. He's the one that owns the vineyard. Are we together? Now, verse 2 says, please read verse 2. "I am the vine." Verse 2, please. It takes away. Till verse 6.
"Do the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no man can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing."
Thank you. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now we have established from Isaiah chapter 5 verse 1 says, he's singing a song about his well-beloved. God is the owner of the vineyard. Jesus himself is the vine. Now from verse 2 says, he dug it up and cleared out its stones. The same way, if you look at yourself, if I look at myself, if I look at my life, from different situations, from different circumstances, from different backgrounds, God had to dig you up. From the foundation of our forefathers that did so, intertwined with idolatry, God had to dig us up. God had to dig us up from so many things, from so many bloodshed, from everything that is foreign, from our Adamic nature. God had to dig us up. Dig us up because the devil himself will not allow us, will not release us easily like that. He had taken us deep into the Adamic nature. God had to dig us up. Now he dug us up and he cleared out the stones. Isaiah chapter 2 says, he dug it up, he cleared out the stones. The same way God looked at you and me and he washed us clean. He cleared out everything that is seemingly repulses, everything that repulses him in our lives. Everything The work of salvation is a work of grace. Do you understand? Our first response, which God causes us by grace to respond to Him, is by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, God cleared out the stones. All these were the work of God. He had done it in your life. That is why when any man comes to God, he's a new creature. That is why when you're coming afresh, when you give your life to Christ, you come with a new slate. You come with a brand new person that doesn't have a past. Do you understand? Because at that point in time, God had cleared out the stones. Now, He planted it with the choicest vine. He planted it with the best vine, with the best species that is obtainable in the whole earth. We all know who that vine is, Jesus. When He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, He had planted us with this vine. He had planted us with this stock, with this breed. There is nothing wrong with our foundation, as it were. Immediately you come to Jesus, immediately you surrender your life to Him, immediately you acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. From that point in time, God has given you a brand new slate. He has planted the vine. He has planted a branch in that vine. Are we together? Now, He built a tower in its midst. He made a wine press in it. So He expected it to bring forth good fruit. Now, He did not just plant us. Bible says He built a tower in His midst. He made a wine press in it. He built a tower. He had given you things that you will use. He has given you resources you will use. Now, most of the time, when you see a tower represents a high edifice that is used to look ahead. Do you understand? Especially when you want to see what is happening in places beyond where you're standing. When you climb to the tower, you can see further ahead than when you're on the floor. The Bible says He built a tower that was supposed to serve as a guard. He had given us all things that we need. He had given us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bible says He dug a wine press in it. He had given us the written word. He had given us the Bible. He had given us the words He spoke that are written down in letters. Do we understand? He planted it with the choicest vine. He planted us in Jesus Himself. He built a tower. He made a wine press in it. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to lead us and guide us into all our works, into all the things that we'll do. Who is supposed to be our guide? Who is supposed to be our leader? Who is supposed to be our comforter? Who is supposed to be the one that will shepherd us in our journey? He dug a wine press. He gave us the Bible. He gave us materials we will need. He gave us instructions that we will need. The Bible says, so He expected it to bring forth good grapes. He expected it. Haven't given us all this. Haven't done so much of His work in our hearts, in our lives. God is expectant that He will get something from our lives. Haven't made so much investment. If you look at everything that God had used, the Bible says he has a vineyard on a fruitful hill. So there is nothing wrong with the hill. There is nothing wrong with the spirit that God had given you. He made it from a very fruitful hill. He planted it with the choicest vine. The stock from which you have been attached into is the choicest, is the purest, is the special breed. He dug a tower. He built a wine press. He had done everything complete. He had done everything perfected. Now God is waiting. He's waiting for us to bring forth fruit. Let's go back to John chapter 15. Now we have established that all of us are His vine. We are a branch in the vine. We are all in Him. We are a part of His vineyard. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. That means it is possible for us to be a branch in Him that is not bearing fruit. It is possible for us to be a Christian that is not bearing fruit. He says, every branch in me. That branch is already in Him. That branch is a part of Him. Do you understand? That branch has been engrafted into Him. Is an offshoot of the perfect vine. But it is this branch that life is not bearing fruit. Just like God is waiting. He's waiting. The owner of the vineyard is waiting to see the fruit from the vine. And the vine is bringing forth sour grapes instead of sweet. The plant is bringing forth sour grapes. Our life, the fruit of our life, the offspring of our life, our decisions, our attitudes, are they sweet? And yet, it does not seem to occur to us that the repercussions of our attitude and our action are not limited to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is we are all a part. We are all a part. We are members of his body. Just like a tree has different branches. And each of those branches are expected to bear fruit. Each branch has a responsibility to bear fruit. Because God has already put the capacity to bear fruit in that branch. As long as it is attached to the tree. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, let's read verse 26. If one member suffers, all members suffers with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. What you do, the decisions we take in our workplaces, in our homes, they are fruits that we are presenting to the people around us. They are fruits that the people around us are eating. They are taking to eat. Are we sour or are we sweet? Your neighbors at home, the people around your workplace, the people with which you spend the bulk of your time, your life is a fruit to them. When they take of it to eat, is it sour or is it sweet? Jesus is asking us. Now understand the fact that when one part suffers, the whole body suffers with it. So eventually, if the fruit that is coming forth from your life is not a sweet fruit, people around that look at it do not want to partake of that fruit. And that means that your life begins to repulse people and begins to cause the work of the body of Christ to suffer. Begins to constitute a stumbling block to others. That means your decisions, your attitude, your habits do not just affect you. They do not just affect me. They have a ripple effect. Now, Jesus is waiting for our fruits. The Bible says, what should I do to the tree that has constituted? It is just on the ground. It is not bearing fruit. Cut it off. And then the vine dresser says, no, please, wait, give me 3 more years. I will walk around it. Maybe it will still bring forth fruit. God is waiting. A time is coming when he will no longer expect such fruit that he's getting. And he will ask that the walls around it be removed. That cattle enter into the vine and begin to trample upon it. That will not be us in Jesus' name. But he's expectant. And the fruit from our lives is what everybody out there is eating. Are we sweet or are we sour? Are we causing the members of the body of Christ to suffer? Because if one member suffers, the whole body suffers with it. Are you a reproach to the name of Christ that you bear? Can men indeed say that because of the peculiar way with which you live your life, I want to be a Christian? That is the true meaning of when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. God has brought us forth again. Bible says every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And the one that is bearing fruit, there are areas of our lives that God will need to prune, that God will begin to need to work on. That is why we have come this morning. Let's rise up on our feet. Ezra chapter 7 verse 9 says, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Ezra chapter 7. I want us to quickly read it. Ezra 7 verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. I have come to seek your will. I have come to ask for help to live a life that is fruitful, so that the fruit of my life will be sweet and not sour. I have come to seek to do that which I will learn within the course of the next few days. Lord, I have come to seek for grace, such that by my life I will begin to teach. I will begin to show the product of a sweet life, the product of a fruitful life, in the name of Jesus. Lord, my heart is prepared. Father, my heart is prepared to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, in every area of my life where I am producing soft fruit, Lord, I am asking for a pruning. My Father, my King, I am asking, oh God, that you will take it off. You will take it out. So that I will not be taken out of the body of Christ as a branch that is ineffective. In the name of Jesus. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2 says, the Lord can save. Lord, save us from all unfruitfulness.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-8133-8536,
080-7455-8177, 081-409-9121, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life